Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Thousands of farmers are to protest in London today against changes to inheritance tax. National Farmers Union President Tom Bradshaw explains why they're taking the action.
What the extreme human pressure is that this policy has created. We have to have these conversations, but we're really concerned that at the moment there doesn't seem to be any action, there doesn't seem to be any understanding from the Treasury of what they're doing.
Motorists and train passengers are being warned of disruption this morning following a night of snow in many parts. There's yellow weather warnings in place for Northern Ireland, the north of Scotland and parts of northern and central England. Allies must come together to back Ukraine and ensure Vladimir Putin doesn't succeed, according to the Defence Secretary. Today marks 1,000 days since Russia's full-scale invasion. And in the Nations League, Scotland beat Poland 2-1, while Northern Ireland's game against Luxembourg ended 2-2. From Radio News Hub, I'm Edward Breslin.
Coming up, Africa in Focus.
You might want to step back from your speaker or remove your headphones.
I just can't believe it.
Mark's found out he's won £11.4 million on Lotto.
This is just... You know what? I've got tears in my eyes.
Yep, that's £11.4 million. Lotto, will you be the next millionaire? The National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
NHS England is launching the next phase of their Pharmacy First advertising campaign that raises awareness of the expanded services available at your community pharmacy. Those services mean that pharmacists can now provide some prescription medicine, if needed, for 7 common conditions without the need to see a GP first. Going to your local pharmacy offers an easy and convenient way to get clinical advice on minor health concerns. And now community pharmacies can offer treatment and, when appropriate, some prescription medicine for 7 common conditions without GP appointment. This is part of a major transformation in the way the NHS delivers care. Community pharmacies are staffed by highly skilled and qualified health professionals who are trusted parts of local communities. Pharmacists can train for 5 years in the use of medicines before they qualify and are also trained in clinically assessing and treating minor illnesses and giving health and well-being advice to help people stay well. Pharmacy technicians are part of the pharmacy team and are also registered health professionals.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Africa in Focus.
Colorful.
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 Julius.
Colorful.
Colorful.
Colorful. Colorful Radio.
Good morning. Good evening. Or even good afternoon, depending on the time zone that you're connecting to us from. Welcome to Africa in Focus, and I'm your host, Julius Baluto. We're coming to you all the way from the heart of London to wherever you are on Colorful Radio. So keep it colorful. This week, a great week, I catch up with a great friend of mine. Oh my goodness. And what a great singer, what a great man, he's doing quite a lot of things, contribution to the society, wherever you go, whether it's Africa, whether it's Europe, hey, to keep us happy. Music is the oil of the soul. So, we are joined by Simon Sims. But Simon Sims, we want you to introduce yourself, tell us what you do, and share your other name away from Simon Sims, because that's a business name.
Yes. Yeah. My name is Simon Sims, and I'm originally from Kenya, in Mombasa, but I live here in UK, in Glasgow, Scotland, and I am 30 years old. I shouldn't have shared my age. I love music. I genuinely love music, and I do a lot of that here in UK. Yeah.
When you say you do music in one sentence, you make it sound so easy. Like I can just go and do it anyway.
Yeah.
But we are talking about a journey.
Yes.
We are talking about challenges on the way, successes on the way. That's life, isn't it?
Yes.
So, how did you start singing? How did you join music?
I wouldn't say I was born singing, because other people always say, I was born singing. No, I started singing really at the age of 12, I think. My parents are very musical, and I think for me, I grew up in church, and that's where I picked up my musical passion. But then in school as well, they formed a choir, and I joined the choir, and that's where really my singing took off. Not like professionally as it is now, but like I joined choirs and I was singing, and we used to come to the UK quite a lot when we were young with the Singing Children of Africa. And we used to perform in various places here in the UK and America as well. But then after that, my passion for music really started to grow bigger and bigger until now. Yes, I think that's pretty much a little bit about my background of how I started singing. Yeah.
Indeed. So let's talk about, like, when you were with the children group. It's the Children of Africa, isn't it?
Yeah, the Singing Children of Africa.
When you talk about Children of Africa, how was it like? How, you know, it's easy to sing when you are in school, right? But you're going to fly out of your country, sing in a different country.
Yeah.
And maybe to people you don't know. How was that bit of the journey?
Yeah, I think for us, we didn't even think about we're leaving our parents, our families, going to the UK. In fact, we were very, very excited. We were a bunch of young kids who were just like excited in the moment, and we were like, "Oh, we're going to the UK." We didn't really think about the part where we missed. We did miss our parents at some point. We were in the UK, but apart from that, we didn't even want to go back home, if you can say, because we were that happy to be in a new, I'm from Africa, and getting an opportunity to come to the UK is a big thing. Mm. So we didn't really take it for granted. We really went for it. And we did it for a while. The charity, Educate the Kids, that brings kids to the UK, it's a very good charity. They give opportunities to kids to go to school. And that's how I got my education, actually, because that's where I went to school. And 30 times I traveled with them to the UK as a kid. And then when I finished high school, I went back to the school to sort of give back. And I worked as a music teacher for 5 years. And then after that, really, I developed my skills and wanted to do my own things as an artist. So, yeah, it wasn't an easy journey, but I managed to get there, because it's something that I've always wanted to do. Music has always wanted. It's always something that I've always wanted to do. So it's my passion. Yeah.
Now then, your first song, you wrote it, and I'm just thinking, did it come through a dream, or you sat down, and what was the inspiration of your first song?
It's funny, because I don't dream songs. I don't dream songs. I wouldn't really consider myself as a great writer, but sometimes for me, it's tunes that come into my head, and sometimes tunes just randomly pop into my mind, and I'm like, oh, this is very new. It could be something that maybe God wants me to, use it to write a song. And I usually compose a chorus with that tune, and then probably go to the studio and develop it up with the producer or myself. And that's how I write my songs. I don't sit at home and write the whole song. I write beats by beats every day.
Colorful radio.
Some people sing about very easy things.
Mm.
I've had a song known as Bicycle.
Mm.
You're just singing about a bicycle. And I'm like, what is there to tell about a bicycle?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think songwriting is crazy. Like, people can randomly decide to say, I'm going to sing about Julius today.
Yeah.
What is it I want to sing about him? Mm. Where is he from? What's his age? What does he like?
Mm.
And that, and then they probably just like do a song about Judas. It's weird. It's weird.
Another one is known as fire engine. And I'm like, fire engine? I've had funny songs.
Right? Okay. Like, yeah, they are.
So, but I'm bringing that on board because it actually, whichever song people compose, artists compose, you still have fans. You see people dancing to the floor about a bicycle.
Yeah.
About a fire engine.
Yeah.
What has been your experience? Because sometimes even singing is not about your understanding of the language. I always give examples like when I was young. I had my favorite African music. It was sung in a different language. I didn't understand. But my spirit connected with them. I loved them.
Yeah.
I could sing when I'm singing in that language. You think I'm one of that language speakers.
Yeah.
But I was not.
That's the power of music, though. Music moves you in a way that you don't understand. Sometimes people could be singing about bicycles, but the beat sometimes can move you, or the voice, the beautiful voice of the artist. And of course, the spirit takes you over sometimes if it's a good song.
Yeah.
And for me as well, for me to consider a song a good song, I don't even listen to the message. I know message is very important, but for me, I always, the first thing that I listen to is the vocal. Is this person good? How skilled is this person when he sings? And then maybe later I consider like the beat, the harmonies, you know. I'm very much into harmonies as well. But yeah.
Your first song though, it wasn't about a bicycle, was it?
No. I've not reached to that point yet.
Come by. So your first song, what is it about?
So I've recorded so many songs as an artist growing up. I have recorded a lot of songs. I have to say as well, as I grew up as an independent artist, before that I used to be a backing vocal artist. So basically it means going into the studio and putting harmonies to other people's songs and stuff. And then the producer was like, oh, you should start doing your own things and record your own things. And we did, I did record a lot of songs, and they were like gospel songs. I can't remember my first song. That's strange. I can't remember my first song, but the song that is on my YouTube and a music video to it is called Shuka Utende.
Okay.
I consider that as my breakthrough song because it's the one that has made me I've made a name out of it, and people appreciate and love the message.
Shuka Utende in English means come down and
come down and probably manifest.
Manifest.
Yes.
Yeah. There's also that connotation of act as well.
Act.
And of course, it's again figure of speech. He's calling up to God to come down and be there for you in a different way. Okay. How was it received?
It's funny because I didn't like most of the songs that I release. I usually don't have expectations.
Okay.
And I remember when I was back in Kenya last year, I wanted to do something because I had been in the UK for quite a long time, and I was thirsty to release a song or like to go into the studio again. So I went there and recorded the song, and my producer laughed at me because he was like, I'm not used to you singing these kind of songs. And I said, well, I don't know, but I feel like God wants me to record this song. And when I sang to him the chorus, he was like, oh, Simon, you're losing it. And I was like, why? He says, I'm used to you singing big songs, like, you know, the big ballads, the English songs and stuff. And I said, no, I specifically want to sing this song today. So when I sang and he gave me the demo, I went back home and I made my mom listen. My mom is my first fan. My sisters and my siblings, they are like my first fans, that every time I release a song, I go home, they listen to it, and they are brutally honest. And a lot of my songs, my sisters be like, you're wasting your time.
Yeah.
But this time, they didn't say anything. And I said, you need to say something. And they were like, it's all right. And then my mom said, I think of all the songs we recorded, we love this song. Okay. mostly because of the message. Mm. And simply the message. It was very, people could connect and stuff. And then I came to the UK. I did a music video in Kenya as well. Mm-hmm. And then I said to the producer, I will see. I'll tell you when I can release it. And I didn't release it until I came to the UK. I was like, maybe I should release. And I did release and started singing in the street because I do a lot of busking in Glasgow.
Yeah.
And I said, one lady came up to me and she said, why don't you sing African songs? Do you have your own songs? And I said, yeah, I do. So I sang Shuka Utende. Mm-hmm. And you cannot believe how people danced to that song.
Yeah.
They didn't understand the message. Mm-hmm. It's a Swahili song. People were going crazy. They were dancing and enjoying, and they kept requesting the song. Please sing Shokoten, Shokoten. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, this could be something. Maybe, you know, God really wanted me to record this song. Yeah. So I put it out on my social media. Like my friends usually take videos of me, and then they send them to me. And I put it on my TikTok. I remember the first TikTok I did for that song, it got around 3 million views.
That's a lot of views.
And it was just a lot of people from East Africa, like, this is a good song, where can we find it? Mm-hmm. And I was telling them it's on YouTube and stuff, and I think that's how the song went viral without any, you know, hard work, because
it's a good song. Listen to it.
Yeah.
And actually, we are going to play this song on Colorful Radio for the first time.
Thank you.
So you're going to play, yeah.
Lakini mimi bado tu kufunga na kusali vyote nimefanya, lakini hali ndile tu. Fungu la kumi nalo nimetoa, yatima nao nimesaidia, lakini bado ninang'ang'ana. Simba alikuwita ukashuka, mana yake ni kuwa wewe ni mkuu, unasikia tunapokuita, ujawahi chelewa, ujawahi nyamaza, unajibu kwa wakati wako, ujawahi chelewa, ujawahi nyamaza, unajibu kwa wakati wako. Shuka utende maishani mwangu. Shuka,
si wezi bila wewe.
Colorful Radio.
Okay. Yeah, so carry on.
Okay, yeah. So for the past few years, I've struggled to publish my songs or like to promote them to like, you know, radios and stuff. But this time it was just like God was promoting it for me. You know, I put it out there on social media. I guess it's because time is changing as well. The way people used to promote music is different from how you can do it today. So yeah, basically TikTok made that song viral.
Talk about change.
Yeah.
I mean, how have you found basking? Like, how is it like basking? Because you must be confident.
Yeah.
You stand in a strange street to people you don't know.
Yeah.
And you start singing.
Yeah. It takes guts to, you know, to stand outside to sing. You know, you've got to be really brave, especially to people like the Scottish people. They're like very honest. If you have a bad voice, they will always tell you, oh, you're wasting your time and you need to go for voice lessons. But no, I started basking in 2020 during COVID, coronavirus time. And people were really stressed and depressed. They couldn't really go out because they were scared. My friend and I, actually my friend Patrick, he introduced me to basking. He said, we need to go basking and cheer people up. And I said, yeah, I don't know what it is, but take me with you. So we did. He sang a couple of songs. And then he asked me to sing as well. And yeah, the reaction was crazy because people were like, who is this person? We've not had this person before. And I just kept going back every Saturday. And I gained my popularity in Paisley. Because that's where I stayed. It's not far from Glasgow.
Okay.
And then, and then it just took from there. Yeah,
yeah, I've seen it on Facebook and it's huge crowds of people. And they seem to have a very good time.
They do, they do. I'm actually very grateful because not many baskers get that kind of reception.
Yeah.
And I'm not special. I'm not any better than the other people. But I feel like it's you know, it's God's timing. I believe in God's timing, and the Scottish people are very supportive of music, of good music. And in Kenya they say kizuri kinajiuza.
Yes.
I believe that's
something great.
Yeah,
will promote itself.
Yeah, and I think UK has been very, very supportive of my music.
Did you think one day you stand in front of a crowd of the British people whose language is English and sing for them in Swahili?
Do you know, I've had a dream before, way back, and I think I did share this to my mom. I said, I have a dream that one day I will sing in front of many. No, actually, it wasn't like basking. I said to my mom, I have a dream that one day I'm going to be on Britain's Got Talent.
Okay.
Yes, yes. Every time I would watch those videos on YouTube, and I'm like, I think I can do that. I think I can do that. And I would like practice like, you know, English songs and stuff. And yeah, I believe dreams do come true.
No, that's great. That's great because you ended up in The Voice.
Yes.
Which is as good as British Got Talent.
Yeah.
How did you even know of it and begin to participate?
Yeah. For somebody like me, I watch a lot of YouTube videos of like this kind of singing competition. So I did know The Voice UK, but I was so scared to audition. What happened with my busking thing in Glasgow? I got a call from The Voice, and they said, "We want you to audition for season 12, The Voice UK." And I was like, "What is this? Like a prank or something?" Because you know,
yeah,
there's a lot of people that can pretend to be this and this and this. But no, they are genuine. And actually, it wasn't The Voice that came first. It was Britain's Got Talent. But I was struggling with my visa at that time, and they couldn't allow me to carry on with the even with the audition and stuff. Mm-hmm. But then a few months after that, The Voice UK came across, and they phoned me as well and said, "We want you to audition for the series."
That's good.
And I couldn't quite believe it, but that's how it happened, and the rest is history, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did well. I watched that performance, and it was just an amazing performance.
Thank you.
I could see even the judge is so happy, you know, and you made them so happy.
Thank you.
It never happens quite often.
Mm.
And I was like, it's just the way, I mean, your personality, just the way you have that extra energy on stage, you can connect immediately with people. It's just amazing. So
thank you.
When you look into how you performed there, like The Voice, would you try that again?
Would I audition
again?
I could. Yes, I could actually. If I have the opportunity to do it again, I would. At the moment, I think it's been too soon. I was on last year. And I'm probably gonna wait for a few years and audition again. It's too much pressure.
Too much pressure. Yeah, how is it like?
It's nerve-wracking because you're competing against thousands and thousands of big talents, and you just never know. You're in a room with somebody, but you never know their journey until you see them on stage, and you're like, "Wow, I think they're way better than me." So, but yeah, I'm hoping to audition for other shows as well. Having dreamt about Britain's Got Talent, I might give that a shot at some point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So in terms of there's a difference between the singing you do during busking and these other songs that you have released. Can you share maybe a bit about the other songs you have released?
My latest song that I've released so far, and I think you can find that on all digital platforms, it's called Running Back. It's a love song. It's called Running Back. I didn't fully write the song. I co-wrote it with my producer here in Scotland, and his name is Ryan Laurie. I don't know if I want to talk more about that.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I do sing a lot of gospel songs. So this is actually my first song,
okay,
my first love song to sing. Yeah. Partly because my fans here in UK are English speakers.
Yeah.
And they love the kind of things I do in the street, the kind of music I do. And the style of the new song that I released, actually, it's an upbeat song. So my fans here in UK can connect a bit more as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about your second gospel one?
Yeah.
Song.
My second gospel one, I spoke about Shuka Tende earlier on.
Yeah, yeah.
There's another one called Jiwela Pembeni. Jiwela Pembeni. It's a Swahili one as well. Jesus is my cornerstone.
English?
No, it's
Jesus
Swahili.
Is my cornerstone.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That's good. What was the inspiration on that one?
I usually I'm very big on like mental health and stuff, and I think for the people that are not from UK will clearly understand what I mean. Being here for quite a while away from family and you know, and friends, it could be depressing sometimes for us, and because you don't get really to socialize that much as I would do when I would be in Kenya and stuff. So I went through a bit of depression stage, and I was far away from God. I was focused on music. I was focused on busking quite a lot. Gigs, and I was singing in pubs because that's music for me. I get lots of like pub gigs and stuff. And I was getting so much anxiety. And I stopped going to church. And it was very difficult time for me. So that song, Jiwa La Pembeni, actually was a time for me that I was going through so much depression. And I was just asking God to, you know, be there for me, because I, even though I have so many friends here in the UK, but I felt like I needed Him to lead me. You know, I needed God to lead me instead of being led by my strength and friends and stuff. So that song has a very special.
Colorful Radio. Colorful radio.
Placed in my heart. I have not made a music video of it yet because I can't find the right locations for that particular message.
Yeah.
But it's on YouTube. People can go and search Simon Sims, Jiwanda Pembeni, and they will know what I mean.
Yeah. Jesus is my cornerstone.
Yes.
Jiwanda Pembeni.
Yeah.
Adore Africa. Swahili is being embraced across Africa.
It is.
Now, because even South Africa, it's, embracing Swahili. They are teaching it in school.
Oh, that's nice. I didn't know that.
Maybe you didn't know also in the UK.
Yeah.
University of London, SOAS, School of Oriental Studies, and African Studies. They've been teaching Swahili for a long time.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, yeah. So
that's really nice.
It's a great language.
It is. It's easy to learn as well.
And I'm one of the formerly BBC Swahili journalists.
There you go.
So Swahili is everywhere.
It is. It's a good language, and it's easy to learn as well.
It's a good language.
Yeah.
In your journey then, did you find it necessary to do collabs, perhaps in other artists in Kenya?
Yeah. I've actually done my very first collab I did, obviously with underground singers, but my major collab I did was with Rose Muhando.
Okay.
Yeah. You know
Rose Muhando. She's such a big name.
She's a very big name.
Yeah, which song?
It's called Yes Wangu. Oh, it's a Swahili song.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. Mm. I didn't quite promote the song as much as I did. Mm. But I did a song with the Minister of God, Rose Muhando.
How was it like working with Rose Muhando? I mean, she's so fast paced.
Yeah.
And her speed is just a bit on the high drive.
Yeah.
I
love the description.
She has energy. That's what I'm trying to say.
She does. Her energy is unmatched.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So for me, someone like me who is a bit slow, if I try to dance with in the same place with Rosmuhand, I may break my leg.
She will
I'll miss one step.
You will miss a lot of steps.
She is very fast paced.
She is. She's a lovely lady.
Okay.
Yeah.
How was it like working with her?
It was a good experience. Mm. In fact, I was so starstruck to meet her for the first time in Mombasa. She had come to Mombasa to work on an album of a famous pastor in Mombasa. I can't remember the name. I'm so bad with names. But my producer called me one time and he said, guess who's here? And I said, who? Rose Muhando is here. And I was like, oh my gosh, I love this woman. I love this woman so much. Yeah. I grew up listening to a lot of her songs, actually. So when my producer told me about her, I was like, oh wow, I need to come to the studio and meet her. Anyway, I didn't meet her that day. But the following week, I was randomly at the studio and I was recording. I was probably like putting backing vocals for another artist. And then my producer says, Rosmanda's gonna be here like in a few minutes, and I was like, oh wow. So she comes in and she says, oh hello, how are you doing? And I was like, oh my gosh, I love you so much. I've listened to you like since I was young. And she said, are you a singer? I said, yeah, I'm a singer. Can I listen to your stuff? And I was like, oh, you actually have time to listen to my stuff?
Yeah.
So my producer is there and he met her listen one of my songs, and she was like, you actually have a really good voice.
Yeah.
And for me at that point, I'm like, I'm already dead. Anyway, she didn't say like any other things until the following day. It was on a Saturday.
Mm.
So the following day would have been a Sunday. So I'm in church. I'm at the altar singing because I used to sing praise and worship in my church. And I get this phone call. It's around 11 o'clock. And it's a new number. And she, I heard, hello, how are you, Simon? I said, I'm good. And she, are you free? And I said, well, I'm in church. Who is this? And she goes, it's Rose Muhando.
Mm.
I want you to come to the studio. And I said, oh, okay.
Mm.
And in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, maybe she wants me to just be there, or she wants me to do a song with her.
Mm.
Anyway, I I got off the church real quick. Mm-hmm. I went home, I changed, mm-hmm. and I went to the studio. And she said, I want to do a song with you. I want to promote you because you're a good singer. I feel like you have something in you. Mm-hmm. It's unique. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I was there like, you know, mm-hmm. I'm shaking and stuff. And she said, yeah, choose a song that you mm-hmm. want me to record my mm-hmm. voice and stuff. Mm-hmm. So we you know, I chose a song that I had already recorded. So like we remixed it.
Yeah.
She put her vocals. But mm-hmm. when she was in the middle of recording, there was mm-hmm. the power cut, blackout.
No.
Yeah. Typical Kenyan Africa. Power.
Africa, oh Africa.
And I'm thinking, oh mm-hmm. gosh, okay, this mm-hmm. is not meant to be. Mm-hmm. And I'm there like panicking and say, oh, mm-hmm. there's no power. And she goes, no, I can wait.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Yeah, she's like, I can wait. It's mm-hmm. fine. Don't worry. Mm-hmm. And I said, are you sure? It's getting late. And she's like, yeah, I will wait.
Mm-hmm.
And we went outside and we were just talking and she was asking mm-hmm. about my story, like my mm-hmm. family and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was asking her questions and she said, no, really, I'm serious. I can wait because my first album, I think her first album was like Uwe Macho.
Mm.
Something like that, and she was like explaining to me how there was like difficulties in mm. power curtains mm. as well, and they had to like wait hours and all. So yeah. she did understand the mm. situation
mm.
until there was the power was back and we finished recording. But we talked about like doing a music video and stuff, but it didn't work because mm. I had to come to the UK she's in Tanzania and stuff. But I'm very much in touch with her. She's a lovely lady.
Yeah, yeah. No. It's a big name in terms of seeing gospel singers in Africa, East Africa especially.
Oh, yeah.
Energy is on another level. But anyways, that's really great. So in terms of your being in the voice,
mm-hmm.
that voice bit, I wanted us to maybe just for people who don't know what it takes, how it is like.
Mm-hmm.
I know you just share that it's a bit challenging. It's like really you have to have the energy for it. If I put it that way, but what makes it so challenging? As in terms of, I know you said there's competition, but someone out there just like you is like, I would love to be in The Voice. I would love to be on British Got Talent.
Mm. Yeah. I think it's the fact that it's a bigger show and it's watched by millions and millions of people. And if that's there in your brain, it could be very disturbing because the people that are there to watch you sing, the coaches and the audience, it's a lot of people, but there's people that are online as well. So you worry about perfection. You worry about what people are going to say. Is it good or bad? You know. But for me, I'm lucky because I'm a very positive person. And when I got The Voice, I was actually so excited rather than worried. You know. There's so much involved until you're shown on TV. There's like thousands of people that audition, pre-audition. And I remember the process of auditioning. They called me for a Zoom audition. So I was basically performing for the judge, the vocal coaches, not like a celebrity, but like people that work as vocal coaches. And then you sing for them. Maybe you prepare two songs, you sing for them, and then they tell you, thank you very much, we'll get back to you at a later stage. So you wait and wait, and then if you go through, obviously they email you or call you back. So that was the process. I did at least three pre-auditions before I got the chance to go and see the producers in Manchester. And I managed to get that, but it's many people that audition. It's a lot of people, but I love how The Voice. I wouldn't say it's staged because I'm not
that.
It's they know a good voice. They know what they want for the show, for the TV. It's entertainment as well. So I go to the Manchester meet. What's it called? ITV, and I performed for the producers. And as well, again, they didn't say anything. They said, thank you so much for participating. We'll communicate with you at a later stage. And then usually you wait, and that's the bigger call that you wait for. if you're going to be on TV or not. And I think it was like after a month, I was somewhere in Somerset probably performing, and I got this random call, and they said, "Oh, is it Simon? We've got good news. You've been selected to be on TV for The Voice and stuff." And I was like screaming on the screen.
I don't know where I put my keys. I was tired, I fell asleep beneath an oak tree. I bet my mother's proud of me. From his car upon my knuckles and his dress upon my knees. All I know, I got a car, I need to have a bonus star seat. He kicked me out and then I walked in the rain. I took my step in every way. I won't be doing this again. And tomorrow's the bride on your mind, and I am all in. Being honest with you, I get lonely. Maybe stay from time to time, send your need call, yeah. Maybe I'll be, yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe I'll be, yeah, 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 yeah. Maybe I'll be, yeah, yeah. Nothing from looking up, but find my shoes right next to the old tree. Now get up, fast train into town. Maybe I'm done looking around for the things that I left on the ground.
Yeah, it was so much fun. The whole process was so much, it's nerve-wracking, but so much fun until you get to a point where you're preparing for the TV. Obviously you get really worried and stuff, and you know, you're nervous because that environment itself, it makes you worried, you know. It makes you nervous big time, because first of all, you're going to meet up with the celebrities themselves, like Tom Jones, Will.i.am, and Marie Olimars for the first time on stage after you perform for them. They turn their back and you sing. They don't look at you until they like the voice, then they hit the button.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was like, the person that was ahead of me had been denied, like he didn't go through, and he was one of my best friends that I met on set. And he had an amazing voice, but he didn't go through. Nobody turned for him, and I was next. And I was, that's the point, I was like, oh, do I want to go, or do I just want to? And they're like, you'll be fine, it's fine. So I went, and you know, as you've seen the video on YouTube, that's exactly what happened and stuff.
No, it must have been experience.
It was such a good experience, yeah. Yeah.
Now, we are looking into where you are right now. I think you're thinking of options of even British Got Talent. It came through, you can go for that. But perhaps now you're a bit more established, you have some music out there,
yes,
which you have done.
Yeah.
What's the next plan? Are you planning to take it further, and if so, in what way?
I've got I'm leaving everything into God's hands, but I'm also working so hard to because I feel like I have a platform now, and I want to make sure I release good music. You know, I've always wanted to be able to release music and to be heard. So yeah, I've got quite a few songs that I'm working on right now, and I'm gonna be releasing them very soon. Yeah.
Have you heard about Music Society of Kenya? What's your opinion on that?
trying to get me controversial.
Not really. I mean, before it wasn't there.
Yes, yeah.
There is a lot of challenges for artists.
The MCSK.
For example, plagiarism.
Yeah.
Last time I interviewed great singer as well, she shared with me that sometime.
Emi Koske.
I also know someone else known as Sally.
Oh, right.
So, oh God, yeah, they are all there. Yeah, so Emi Koske, sorry. Yeah, I've hosted her a couple of times. Now, she shared that there was a huge problem with the
piracy, and you could be heard singing a bit like a stanza next time you hear it out there in the public having been released for you.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I don't know if I have any opinions about MCSK. I not have an experience with them because I did register my music with them at some point many years ago when I was like trying to get myself out there. And they said, we're going to send you like the Skiza codes. And I've never received anything from them. I don't know if they even released my songs and stuff. But I feel my experience with them was that, and I think I just didn't like them for that. Mm-hmm. And I know I've had so many stories about artists talking about NCSK's experience and stuff. Yeah. It's not good. Mm-hmm. I feel like they should appreciate artists. They do a lot. They do a lot for the for the country. They educate people through music.
Yeah.
And it's not free to go on a recording studio.
It's expensive to produce music.
It is very expensive. And that's where, for us, that's our source of income as well. So they should think about working together with artists.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I should say about them.
It's okay, no problem. Now then, there's those big challenges out there coming, and in terms of the industry, you have evolution of technology and many platforms, and the control on anyone's music is not as strong as it should be.
Mm.
When you are composing your songs, do you think, oh, maybe one day someone will just, or a particular machine, or a particular technology may just own my music and I can't help it?
Mm.
You have stories about AI, whatever, coming up.
Yeah. Technology now is a bit worrying. It's good, but it's very worrying at the same time, because some people only release their music on YouTube, and when you release something on YouTube, you don't have full control or full rights, because anybody can take that and post it on their channels and stuff. I feel artists now should open up their eyes, and they should own when they share the music online, they should have full rights rather than just leaving it there, because you just never know.
Yeah.
You never know. I think that's what, I don't know. But I have copyrights of my own music, so I don't think I'm very much worried about that, but I'm worried with where the technology is at the moment.
Yeah.
It's good, but it's also got its side effects to it.
Double-edged sword?
Yeah, yeah.
So, someone,
yes,
who looks at what you have done, they watch you on The Voice, and they know your background, and this is a young child, and they're like, I can be like Simon Sims.
Mm.
What will you tell them?
Well, what I can say, don't aspire to be like me. Aspire to be yourself. Aspire to be a better version of yourself. Be inspired by me, but don't want to be like me. That's what I want to say. Work hard. If you want to be an artist like me and you love my music, it's all about in your work ethics. Work hard. Pray to God. Keep God first. Everything has to be under God's control and stuff. So, just work hard and depend on God in everything.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, because, and I also believe in God's timing as well. I've got my journey as well as an artist. I'm not quite there yet, but where I am right now, I think I'm at a comfortable place where I can say, at least I went through this and now I'm here, and it's because of God and my working hard and stuff. So people should, if you have passion for music, let it be there. Don't give up because you've not been known yet. Because I believe if God has given you a talent and it's also your passion, it's there. No matter what people say to you, you will still have the same love for music. And if it's not your thing, you'll give up. But if it's your thing, you'll not give up. That's what I can say. Yeah. Your time is coming and you just have to be patient and pray and work hard. Yeah.
I quite agree. No, that's fantastic. That's a very good advice. And you know what? We'll bring you back another time. It's not over yet.
Okay.
if you just get any whispers, then you'll be on British Got Talent.
Okay.
Let us know.
All right. Okay, I'll give you the tea.
Yeah. Let us know. But it's always joyful to listen to your songs.
Thank you.
And you're going far.
Thank you so much.
You're going higher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, figure of speech to mean greater things on your way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah
it's been great to
catch up with you. Yeah. To our listeners, don't go on.
This is Colorful Radio.
Right or wrong, just let yourself go. You know I'm on the